Well, we are continuing in our study, just looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Once again, this is something that we, you know, we haven't intended for it to be exhaustive, but we do want to just continue to bring into your mind and your heart the expectation of what God's word has for you with regard to the things that he wants you to do. Amen? I'm a firm believer, and I know that this isn't always the case in the body of Christ, but I'm a firm believer that we are not here to be observers. God did not save us for us to sit on the sidelines and watch. I mean, like, I feel like we say, yeah, amen. At least two of you said amen. You know, but do we really buy into that idea? That it's like God saved me and then filled me with the invaluable resource of his Holy Spirit, filled me in order for me to use it, right? Now, here's the thing. We have an adversary who genuinely works overtime to make you believe through his primary mechanism, which is lying to you, to make you believe that you should not be doing anything, that church is a place where you come to hear someone speak to you, and then you get some maybe little warm fuzzies in the pit of your stomach, and then you go away, and you wait until next week to come back and get more warm fuzzies. Okay, here's the thing. This is not a warm fuzzy factory, okay? This, some of you had some very surprised, look, what the, what? You know, okay, maybe a surprise. This is boot camp, amen? This is the place that you come to get the information you need, to get those things that God has been speaking to you throughout the week, to get those things reiterated to you that you might then walk down the steps, go out into the world, and do what he's telling you to do. Amen? Okay. All right. This is going better than I thought. So I just want to set the stage once again. Hey, for those of you who don't know, Matt is going to be in Greece here pretty quick. We're really excited for it. He's going to practice right now. That's why I got the hair. He's playing Kanicki. Yeah. So you guys get out there and see it because it's going to be good. Once again, I wanted him to do his Grease Lightning dance for Lamp, but he said he wouldn't. But we'll see. So go out and check out Matt. It's going to be a good time. I know I'm going to see it. So I just want to just spend just a little bit of time before I bring someone up here to talk about their sort of area of expertise. I just want to set the stage. I just want to sort of lay out the picnic blanket and the plates and the drinks and the fried chicken and whatnot, just before we jump in, okay? Okay. If you have a Bible or an app on your phone, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, because I want you to see just a couple verses. I want to make sure that you know that we're not sort of making these up, and sometimes we skip by these things. Now, I don't know how you don't know this verse, because we talk about it literally all the time, amen? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Titus, Philemon, Hebrew, James, 1st Peter. Amen? 1st Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Now, it says, if you are an each, I want you to reach for heaven. Amen? If you're an each, okay? Okay, yes, I'm just... I'm telling you, you are an each. Okay, if you're an each, raise your hand. Amen, reach. Okay, so as each, so that's you, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So as each has received a gift. So once again, if you are born again, God has gifted you. And one of the things that we want to do is take the time to draw those things out, but also to help you realize the gifts that you have. Amen? Okay, amen. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's one of the main places we're getting this sort of outline for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're given a glimpse of what the Bible tells us a church service should look like. Amen? We're given just a glimpse. Now I want you to track with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. What then, brothers, when you come together, each, oh, there's that word again. Let's see, quick show of hands again. Who's the each? Amen. Amen. Each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. So once again, this idea within the body of Christ is not that it should be a one-man show or there should be a small exclusive cadre of people who do the ministering. That there's going to be an aspect where each of us get an opportunity to use our gifts. And some weeks it's going to be more and some weeks it's going to be less. Amen? But this idea of the body coming together and actually doing the work of the ministry, not a select few, okay? You don't pay one person to go out and do what you should be doing. Amen? Not as convinced on that one. Okay, well, hopefully by the end of this, we'll see it. All right. I was chatting with a friend this week, and he reminded me of a quote by a fellow called Jack Hayford. Jack Hayford, along with Pastor Chuck Smith, were two of the guys who probably were the apostolic overseers of the Jesus People movement. Some of you are familiar with the Jesus People movement. During the late 1960s, early 1970s, a lot of the young people, a lot of the youth culture, a lot of the hippies came to know the Lord. This is the season when my mother and father-in-law, Jabron's parents, came to know the Lord. And it was arguably the last great Western revival. An amazing time of God's outpouring of the Spirit. And Pastor Jack Hayford at the Church on the Way, at a conference of vineyard pastors in 1999, made a statement. He said, "Are you going to live in the river or just know the map of where the river used to be?" And I was like, "What? Man, that's a little bit convicting. Are you going to live in the river? Or are you just going to have the map of where the river was? Are you going to choose to be someone who's going to jump into the river and say, man, this is what I want to do? Or are you going to sort of read your Bible as a map of, wow, wouldn't it be neat if we could go there? I want to be someone who doesn't just look at the map and think about how wonderful it would be to go there someday. I want to be someone who lives in the river, who uses the map to get to that place where I can jump in deep. Amen? A few bits of scripture out of 1 Corinthians. I was going through 1 Corinthians this week just in my own devotional time, and I came across a couple verses. "And I was with you," Paul speaking here, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I love that. He's saying, I didn't come to you with fancy words. I came to you with the power of God, because I don't want your understanding of who God is to rest and rely upon fancy words. I want you to understand it's the power of God. Reiterating that a chapter or two later, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power." The context for this is Paul is calling out people who are questioning his ministry. Let me put this in Scottese. Paul is saying to those people who are calling him out, put up or shut up. He goes, I'm not here for talk. I'm here for power. Where are we at, church? Are we still in that place where do we want our gospel to be more of a message, or do we want it to be power? I agree, Scotty. I absolutely agree. Here's the thing. Is there an importance to the Word of God? Is there importance to the words we share? For me, I know that I was born again. I got saved by someone who shared with me the understanding of the fact that I could have my sins forgiven. And I'm thankful for that. But is there also a balance on the other side of that, of actually observing the power of God? Have you read the Bible? Do you ever read the book of Acts and say, Lord, where is that in my life? I was talking to someone the other day, and they were asking me about a healing I had received that it kind of slipped my mind. It's become such a natural part of my life. And they said, hey, by the way, they go to a different church in town and said, I was there when you got healed of that. How's that doing? And I thought, oh, well, yeah, that's pretty good. I totally forgot. I've seen too much. I love the power of God. So this morning, we're continuing on and talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we're gonna talk about healing. And here's the thing. Healing is one of those things that I think has been of tremendous benefit to me personally. I'm passionate about this. Why? Because it has literally changed my life. I was thinking about it this week. I've had myriad small healings over the years as a Christian. But there's been three significant healings in my life that have changed the course of where I was going. I remember as a young man, my dad was, we were out, we were going surfing, and my dad was on a rock, real slippery with seaweed on it, and he slipped, and he was probably in his late 50s, as I recall, maybe mid-50s, and he slipped, and he fell, and he kind of, I almost did it right there. And he grabbed a rock while he was falling down, and he pulled something in his back when he did it. And I remember he was never super active after that. And I was chatting with him maybe a decade or so after that, and he said, yeah, you remember that day we were out at the beach? And I said, yeah, I do. He said, I messed up my back that day. And he said, it never came right. And to the day he died. He's like, it just never came right. And I've kind of always lived in fear. I'll confess to you. I'd always lived in fear of that moment in my life. You know, that kind of ending moment because my dad was a really active guy and loved to get outdoors with me and my brother. And I've had three times in my life when I thought it had come upon me. Amen? But the Lord had come in each time and healed me. So this morning, we're just going to talk about healing, and I'm excited because I know what this has done for me, and I want it to continue to grow for us as a congregation. Amen? Cool. So I'm just going to ask Nikki to come on up, and we're going to chat. We're going to have an interview together, and yeah, there you go. And we're going to just talk a little bit about healing, and Nikki's one of those people that I've just found to really operate in this area in quite a unique and neat way. So, Nikki, how are you this morning?
I'm fabulous, thank you.
Outstanding. Hey, do you want to give just a little bit of background maybe on sort of how you... Why don't you face them?
Yeah.
There we go. A little bit of background on sort of how you've sort of come to this point.
Sure. From as early as I can remember, really, as a child, it was spoken over me that I had healing hands. You know, I would put my hand on someone's back as a little kid, and people would always go, oh, yeah, that feels great. Yeah, carry on. Or I put my hand on them, and they're like, that's exactly where my sore spot is. And I could always spot who was hurting, and the Lord would really encourage me to just go over and sit with them or put my hand on their knee or something as a little kid. So, and I was brought up with supernatural experiences being an okay thing to experience, and it was quite normal and talked about in our house. So I think that opened me up to be able to accept that side of things. And around my early 20s, was married and we decided that we want to start having children, and I wanted to be a stay-at-home mum, and I wanted to be able to still earn some income. So a lot of people had always said to me, you'd be a great massage therapist. So I thought, okay. So I went and did a weekends workshop and I was like, yep, that's me, and I've been doing it ever since.
Awesome. So I think one of the things is we, you know, for those of us, I mean, I don't know what you had found, but it, for those of us who sort of walk with the Lord, we read the Bible, mm-hmm. and we see that clearly Jesus, clearly his disciples, many people in the Bible, even beyond that, go out and heal people.
Clearly, yeah. Yes. I absolutely believe 100% God is willing and able and wants us to be healers.
So you touch on two things that I actually really wanted to sort of chat to, and that was the idea of, you know, I think a lot of us believe that God is totally willing and able to heal other people.
Mm-hmm. A lot
but,
of people.
But so often it's like, but maybe not me. I, you know, does anybody else feel that way? It's like, you know, I know God can do it, but I don't know if he does it, if he loves me enough to do it for me. Yeah. There's some sort of, you know, cosmic punishment that I should be bringing upon myself, that he wants me to have this.
Yeah, I struggle with that too.
So there's two verses, I as you and I sort of chatted this week, two verses that I want to sort of bring us to, or two portions of Scripture, to sort of talk about that, because these are places that I constantly go back to personally. And they deal with those two questions, is ability and will. God, are you willing? And God, are you able? First one is Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And you can just jot these things down. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. There's a leper. For many of you, you know that leprosy was this disease that would come across people that would basically break down their bodies. Their bodies would literally rot away. And Jesus came, and a leper came to him, Jesus, imploring him and kneeling and said, if you will, you can make me clean. Do you get what the Lord's saying there? Or what's being asked of the Lord? He said that this leper comes to him, this man who genuinely has a death sentence upon him. He comes to the Lord and he says, if you have the will to do this, you can make me clean. And I love this, verse 41. Moved with pity, he, Jesus, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. So the guy questioned, he has that same question that we all have so often. If you're willing, you can do this. And the Lord's answer to him without hesitation, moved with pity, says, I will. This is my will. Be clean. And immediately, I love that, some of my favorite words in Scripture, verse 42, and immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. The other verse is in Mark, and it's this next portion is actually reiterated in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Mark chapter 9, verse, beginning at about verse 23. Well, let's back it up a little bit. And verse 20. And they brought there's this boy that is convulsed and he's obviously demon possessed and he's got some issue. And he fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, the father of the boy, how long has this been happening to him? And the father said, from childhood. And it often cast him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So once again, this idea of healing, of casting out the demonic. One person says, Lord, if you will, you can do this. This guy says, if you can do it, if you can do anything, if you can, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible for the one who believes. Immediately, and a lot of us know this portion of Scripture, and this is one that's really ministered to me in my healing and journey, is immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Can anybody say amen to that? Lord, I believe, but can you help my unbelief? Because there's two different things that are going on there. Do you understand? These are two tensions. You know, you have belief and unbelief that kind of pull against each other. So within this question in your mind that may go over, Lord, are you willing and are you able? God says, I am. So a couple questions, if I may, for you. All righty. Well, just, and once again, we're not, I think neither of us are speaking as experts, but we're just sort of speaking from our experience and from mm-hmm. Scripture. Why do people get sick?
Why do people get saved?
Sick.
Sick.
Saved. Why Hopefully they get saved because God loves them and he's
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Why do people get sick? There's many reasons for that, I believe. Environment. Okay. People need a loving, clean, dry home. Stress. Stress. I mean, we all get stressed. It's how we deal with it. Do we internalize our stress or do we bring it out into the open and communicate it with people and do something about it? Lifestyle. You know, we work, but we also need to play and we need to pray and we need to sleep. It's not all about 80% work. And much of illness is related to emotions. Mm. I know this to be true. I've just seen it over the years that unless our mind, body and spirit are all in good health, then physically we're going to see sickness.
So clearly, because we live in a fallen world, some of the aspects of us getting sick are just simply natural.
Yes, absolutely. But we can do something about
amen.
It.
Amen. Mm. Okay. So, you know, once again, we just sort of spoke to this, but the next, is it the will of God that we are healed?
Totally the willing okay. of God, right. yeah. I mean, look at the Last Supper. For instance, Jesus shared around the wine and he said, this is his blood, and the blood washes away our sin. It's what saves us. But he also gave out the bread and yeah. said, this is my body that was broken for you. The bread was given out and we take communion to celebrate the fact that we can live in wholeness and wellness. That's what God wants for us. That's what
By
one of the reasons
stripes,
Jesus died.
Healed.
Absolutely,
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So, once again, do we see, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there, and we're not intending to be controversial or difficult, but there's a lot of people out here say, well, you know, this is the will of God, that, mm-hmm. that I'm sick because mm-hmm. it's the will mm-hmm. of God.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people hold on to their sickness. it can define them. It's become part of their identity, mm-hmm. you know. They like to talk about their sickness. They accept it. They expect it. And yeah, and there's lots of people accepting sickness because they don't know that they can actually break free from it.
And I think that, you know, one of the things I often bring up is James chapter 1. And I'd encourage you guys to go there and just to study that out, that in James chapter 1, it says God does not tempt with evil.
That's right.
Nor does he use evil. So it's like, I just want to reiterate that God does not use evil to accomplish his will. Everything will accomplish God's will, but I just firmly believe that there's nowhere in Scripture that you can point to me where God puts sickness on someone, especially one of his children, to accomplish
Absolutely.
His will in our lives.
I totally agree. I also know that God will sometimes allow sickness in somebody as part of his loving concern and parentship. If somebody is continuing to sin in a certain way and they're not going to do anything about it, God will allow that sickness to stay with them until they attend to it.
Well, and I think that, you know, and we'd probably debate on the idea of allow. You know,
yeah.
I think that, like, if somebody's going around and, let's just say, drinking to excess constantly
yeah.
and then end up with, like, is it cirrhosis of the
mm-hmm,
liver that you
yeah.
get from that?
Yeah.
Like, that God didn't go,
no.
sprinkle, cirrhosis, you
that's
know,
right, that's right.
onto that person. It's just the natural consequences mm-hmm. of their, and it's funny, I there's a guy I follow who does a lot of healing, and he said there was a gal that had terrible emphysema, had the little oxygen thing
trolley.
And
yeah.
you know, in her nose and everything, and it was from decades of smoking.
Yeah.
And she had a tracheotomy and everything. He prayed for her, she got completely healed.
Yeah.
And he said he was leaving their house and she's
still smoking.
She's
yeah.
like out, you know, and he's just like
the, Yeah. So what's the bet another 10 years she's
you know,
kind of
yeah.
there.
And, and you just kinda go, you know, so
it's no saving some people.
God is good. So, you know, the question we come back to, though, and I want everybody to understand this, man, I'm not here to condemn anyone. This is a journey that I've been on. This is a journey that Nikki's been on. Mm. And one of the questions that I have, and I'm still not convinced I have a perfect answer for it, but a question is why doesn't everyone get healed?
Yeah. Well, I think faith and healing, it's a real vital link between faith, belief and healing. I think as a person giving healing and wanting to share healing, do we really believe that we're able to 100%? Mm. Are we, I mean, if we're born again, we're given a new mind and a new heart, and if we choose to use it, we can let the, you know, step outside of the carnal mind, like Romans talks about, and the natural, everyday mind that only can understand natural, everyday things, and step into our spiritual mind, or the mind of Christ, and take up that offer of healing and be able to give it to people.
So in other words, it has to, there's a process of receiving healing.
Totally, process of giving and receiving. And it's the same with the receiver. If, as you pointed out before, many people believe that their friends and everyone around them at church can be healed, but do they really believe it for themselves?
Right.
Do they really want to accept it for themselves?
So would you have, like, just maybe give us a little bit of example of scripture that might come into that? I know that when you and I talked previously, you gave me a bit. If you, I don't know if you have it.
I haven't actually written down the examples, but I mean, there was plenty of times where Jesus said, you know, your faith has made you.
Yeah, so that's like healed. Matthew 9, chapter 9, verse 20 to about 22. He says, you know, daughter, be encouraged, your faith.
That's right, the woman with the issue of blood, yeah, who just believed if she could just touch him,
the hem
she
of
could
his
be
garment.
Healed. Yeah. She had that much faith.
So she believed that literally, if I just go and just can whisk the hem of Jesus's garment, I'll be made whole. And he says, and he didn't say, hey, be encouraged, my robe has made you well.
Mm. That's right.
You know, he said, your faith.
That's right.
Your has faith made you well. Another scripture you'd give me as we were talking about this is Luke chapter 17, verse 19. You know, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about not receiving healing, when Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth, and I think it may be the only time in the Bible that it says Jesus was amazed. And he was amazed by their lack of faith.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to...
Like, we don't want to amaze Jesus that way.
No. But he wasn't able to perform any healing or miracles in his hometown because nobody... They didn't think he was anybody, you know? Yeah. Nothing good comes out in Nazareth, isn't it? So if Jesus was, you know, battling unbelief in people, we do too.
So, I mean, I think one of the things that, you know, Nikki and I spent a little time going over this and chatting about it, and if you showed up today expecting, like, the definitive answer, okay, here's the definitive answer on healing. I'm going to leave here and every zing, zing, every person is going to get healed. That hasn't been my experience.
No, you know, hasn't. And it's a journey.
We talked about this a little bit when we were chatting about prophecy, that... When Rob and Leonie were up here, one of the things that we found in Scripture, and I think Jeremy really reiterated this as well, was that the Bible tells us to go and prophesy. Go and prophesy. And it gives us zero instruction on how to do that. You know? I love that. It just says, go and do it. And it's almost like the Bible doesn't have a massive amount to say about, like, loving your spouse. But it just says... Love your spouse. You know what I mean? And it's like, and you kind of are left to sort of figure it out on your own. So yet we step out and via trial and error, we learn how to prophesy. Now here's the thing. In the same thing, there's multiple times in Scripture, and I'm going to read a couple before we end, where Jesus tells us to go out and heal people. Go out and heal the sick. He just said, go out and heal the sick. And you're like, you know, you're kind of waiting for the next paragraph or maybe chapter to be all about how you do that. And he's like, yeah, just lay hands on them and heal them. But he doesn't really give us a step one, step two, step three.
Yeah. For me, in my workplace, it's a lot easier because people are expecting that I'm going to heal them, you know. So they have confidence in me. So it's really easy for me to do.
So in other words, if they come with an expectation,
that's right. They come with the expectation, and especially if it's been a word of mouth situation, and I've cleared something up from a friend maybe that had a long term issue. You're going to fix my frozen shoulder, even with my disclaimer. Like, I can't promise anything. Yeah. They're just like, it's going to happen, and it really happens, and it's great.
So you've had situations where you have clearly prayed for people, and there's been miraculous healings.
Yep.
And you've had. And I'm assuming you've maybe had times where that hasn't happened.
There's been plenty of times where it hasn't. But
something because that's unique because I don't get...
Something kidding. That gives me a bit of courage is that I've read books about some of the greatest Christian healers. and watch YouTube videos and films on them, and all of them speak of hundreds of times where nothing happened. So it's like we've got to take some courage. But, you know, I believe
personally, for those people out there who are like, well, I tried that once.
Yeah.
Oh, and it didn't work.
You've got to keep going. What I believe personally, though, that is Jesus always brings some healing to that situation. Body, mind, and spirit. Can I pray for you? And you're talking about, they've got a physical issue and you're praying around that. And if they've got pain, it's actually quite a good idea to ask them, where is your pain on a scale of 1 to 10? You know, 1 being really comfortable, 10, take me to hospital. They may be 6, 7. And almost always, if you can pray for somebody, then ask them where their pain is at.
Right.
That's nearly all. So in other words, have we seen it diminish?
So I think a lot of times we're looking for that immediate...
Right. You're looking for a miracle.
Guys, there's a difference between a miracle and healing. So one of the words that's used in Mark chapter 16 for healing is the Greek word therapeo, which means to be... it's almost like to be progressively... to be progressively healed, to have a healing process there. And I know in some of the areas that I've been healed, one very significant healing that I'm still walking in, literally walking in, it took about 3 months.
Yeah.
For the whole thing to sort of come right.
Yeah. Well, if there's nothing significant that's obvious, then I say to people, have a talk about it with God, you know, because there's reasons why we get sick, you know. Also sin in our lives. So sometimes it may be just enough that it pricks that person's conscience. What do I need to look at in my life? What do I need to be well? What areas of my life are not working? Because the body really talks and tells you what's wrong.
Yeah.
So if you've got an issue, there's some mental or emotional situation usually that's caused that.
And one of the things that we've talked about is the idea that there's disease and there's the demonic.
That's right. Yeah,
there's hurt or sickness and there's spiritual issues. And one of the things that has to be kept in mind is you can't cast out sickness effectively and you can't heal a demon.
That's
amen.
Right. Yeah.
So sometimes you have to go with that. And let me speak to that real quick. And I want then Nikki to share. We're just going to share a couple quick examples of some of these things that we've seen. We had a situation where a bunch of us were praying for someone, and it was on like a Wednesday night, I think, Wednesday or Thursday night. We were praying for one of the people really close to our church family here, and we spent a long time. They came to us and said, "Look, I've got this issue that I just know is on me." You know, just this thing that's kind of on me that's sort of bringing me down. And I don't, you know, you get that every once in a while. And we spent all this time trying to sort of cast this thing out. And finally, I went to this person. I said, "Hey, I actually think you have a hurt in this specific area." And it was like immediately, like out of nowhere, the waterworks came. And we began to pray for healing in that area, and it was like that person has continued to walk in really a high degree of favor since that time, and it was really interesting that it's like we spent all this time trying to cast this thing out, and it was actually just a hurt that needed to be healed.
I think that the oppression and demonic influence is actually quite a really small proportion, and mostly dis-ease. It's about the body not being well. And a lot of the time that's about, it's about hurts. People carry their hurt within them and secrets. Secrets make you sick.
Wow.
You know, it's like we need to get a group with groups of other Christians.
Yeah, the
and
Bible speaks
open
of
yourself
keeping
up.
Things it held up sort of rots our bones.
That's right. Yeah. Was it but in scripture that says pray for each other and confess your sins to one another.
James,
pray for each other so that you may be healed. And that's where our small groups that we get into are really helpful, where we can really be open and honest about situations, stuff that you don't like about yourself.
So give me maybe one or two quick examples of things that you've found, just because once again, if people have maybe said, "Well, I stepped out in that once, I prayed for someone and they didn't get healed."
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you found and where you've sort of had some success?
Okay. So let's talk about neck pain, for instance. So people can come to me, they've had physiotherapy, on it and giving it some massage, and they go away, they feel fantastic, and a couple of weeks later they've got it back again and it's a recurring issue. So if something's recurring, it's like, why is healing not staying? What's happening? Who in your life is a pain in the neck? Do you ever find yourself saying that?
Interesting.
And people say, well, yeah, actually, my three-year-old's a pain in the neck. I'm always telling, you know, my wife that he's a pain in the neck. I just want to come home and relax, and he's all over me. And say, hey, well, you know, just watch what you speak, what you're speaking into being. Back pain. Back pain in the top of the back and the shoulders is often about carrying burdens.
Interesting.
You've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. And the lower back is often, it relates to financial concerns. It's kind of that seat of power. So, yeah, so I talk to people. This has always been fascinating to me, the mind-body-spirit connection, and I've studied it and I've read so many books. I was really excited when I went to the Christian healing rooms to find that the relationship that I knew between the body, the mind, the spirit, and the physical was the same in their books. So I was like,
right.
Yeah,
I've got right. Cross, bring like that Lord knowledge over. Speaking to you. Yeah,
bring that knowledge over. And, so identifying why you've got sick in the first place. And, let's have a look at that. Often people, too, will tell me something and say, I've never told anybody that before in my life,
right.
Some deep, dark secret. And they're fixed like that. You know, they'll ring me 2 or 3 days later and it's amazing.
So you had shared with me a situation that kind of maybe was more on the spiritual side.
The demonic.
Remember that? Do you want to just sort of talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can share that. So that happens as well. So I had a really lovely guy coming to me. He had nerve issues in his back. His back would just give out. So he was having sharp shooting pains. He was really, really burdened. He'd spent a lot of time with pain specialists and physiotherapists and acupuncture. Pretty much he felt like he'd done everything. And so I said, okay, well, let's do some healing. So I had my hands on him and I'm praying to God, you know, come on, he's tried everything. What can you bring? And immediately this deathly stench started rising off of his body. It was just the worst. It was a smell from hell, you know. It was like the steam coming up and filling the room, and I was just gagging, and it was pretty horrendous. It's coming off, and probably lasted for a few minutes, and it cleared, and it went away, and I felt we really got somewhere, so I prayed with him, and prayed for God's healing and blessing, and he got up and said, wow, yeah, I feel amazing. This is really good. I'm like, well, let me know how you go the next few days, and so he went home, and later that night, I was home alone, and all of a sudden, my blood just ran cold. You know, just the hairs on the back of my neck are standing up, and I was just like, whoa, what's going on here? And I looked down the hall, and coming up my very dark hall was this massive eel made up of smoke and Maori patterns and Maori designs with big teeth, and it was snaking its way up the hall straight at me, you know, and my natural instinct was just to put up my hand, say stop, and it just disappeared. It was huge. It was pretty frightening, actually. I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night. You know, I kept the lights on and must have fallen asleep in the early hours. And the guy rang me the next morning and he said, how are you doing? I'm like, okay, well, why is that? What's happening? He said, I went to my elder this morning and he says, and it's completely gone. I was telling him about it and he says he just got so worried and said, that girl has taken a matuku off you, which is a curse. It'll come back and get her if she doesn't know what to do with it.
Right.
That was it returning. And
so you had pulled something, clearly something spiritual had come off, but it had resided.
it was still around. That explosion and the prayer of it going had released it. So, yeah, curses do exist and oppression exists for sure.
So I just thought of just a couple, you know, and I love that because we got to be aware, we got to be ready. And so just quickly, sort of in closing, I just had a couple things that I wanted to share of experiences I've had. And one was with, and we've shared this many times, because it was such a neat thing, but I think it also is an encouragement that don't always believe what you see. Okay, let me explain. A lot of you know that we had a lot to do with Chuck and Nancy Misler when they lived here. And I remember my wife and I were out for a walk. We were walking by the lake, and my buddy Mark Bright called me, and he says, Scott, I'm here with Nancy. She's dying. And she has tremendous heart pain. She had had some heart issues at the time. And she's got, he said, she's got this huge pain in her chest, and she's dying. You need to pray for her now. And I'm like, no pressure, you know? And so I just put it on speakerphone with my wife, and we just, you know, just commanded healing into her body. And I remember, so Nancy was on speaker on their side, and she said, you know, I feel so much better. Like, I can breathe. She says, but I still have this pain in my chest. And I said, well, I guess if you can breathe, then that's probably good. And she went to the doctor the next day because they couldn't get her in that night. And she says, you know, she for 2 or 3 days after this, she said, I've got this pain. But the doctor had done like 3, you know, batteries of tests on her. And she's like, your heart's healed. He's like, I don't know what to tell you. Your heart is perfect. And she was kind of going, but I've still got this pain. Now, after 2 or 3 days, the pain was gone. But the idea was, is that it's like, it was there, and I think so often pain can be there as a lying spirit, you know, to make you believe you don't have it. But actually, Nancy went on to live many years after that, and she actually ended up dying of skin cancer, unfortunately, as many of you know, a few years ago. Two other situations. One, there was a young man from church who had fallen off a railing and broken his jaw. And some of you may remember this. And we went to the hospital and prayed for him, and he kind of had his jaw all padded up and everything, and it was broken in 2 places, clean breaks. We prayed for him, and he wrote down on a piece of paper to his mom after we prayed for him, KFC. And his mom was like, what? And so his mom went out and got him KFC by faith and came back. He ate the KFC, okay? And his mom's like, you know, he's healed. And the doctors are like, oh, you silly woman. No one gets healed. And so they sent him in an ambulance to Waikato Hospital the next day and to get surgery, as he's chomping on his KFC, you know, going, and they got him to Waikato Hospital, and they took x-rays real quick before they went into surgery just to make sure what was going on, and they took more x-rays after that, and then they looked at him, they go, why are you here again? And they said, well, because his jaw's broken, but I tried to explain that he's healed. Long story short, without getting surgery, they sent him on the ambulance back to Rotorua, because his jaw was fine. So his mom was just kind of like, look, I told you guys, but you wouldn't listen to me. And the doctors couldn't explain it. I love it when that happens. And the final one was my son was playing soccer many years ago, and he had just had an accident and broke his, what is that, tibia? Yep. Broke his tibia. And I remember we prayed for it, and I knew that it was healed. I just knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, but he was still having this pain. So we, about 24 hours, I'm a terrible parent, I know. About 24 hours after it happened, we took him to the hospital, and they put a cast on. And I was just felt so dejected, you know, so like I failed my son, and healing doesn't work, and you know how it gets. And then after about 6 weeks or whatever it was, he got his cast taken off, and the doctor had said, you know, hey, go and get x-rays. We just want to check up on it. And so we did, and we came back to the doctor, and the doctor was like, are you sure you got the right leg x-rayed? And I'm like, yeah. Like, it's the skinny one with no hair and a bunch of flakes. You know what I mean? It's like, it's pretty obvious when it's been in the cast for 6 weeks. So literally, the doctor, he puts like an X on it. On the leg, and he's like, okay, go back and get this leg x-rayed. We're like, okay, you know, that's the one we got last time. We go back, we come back, he looks at the x-rays, he goes away. I see he's talking to one of his colleagues. He comes back and he's like, look, I don't know what to tell you, but he's like, there's no evidence of a break. And I'm like, oh, well, that just must have been, you must have done a great job setting it. He's like, no, let me explain to you. That doesn't happen. Whenever there's a break, there's always a fusing. You can always see it. It's like cutting yourself, getting an operation, and having absolutely no scar. He's like, there's always some kind of, and he's like, I don't know what to tell you. And he was freaking out. And he's like, you guys just need to leave. You know? And we're like, okay, you know? So it's just exciting when you get to see things like that. Now, look, I share those because those are really cool stories. And I've shared before. There's been more than one time that I've tried to pull someone out of a wheelchair, okay? And it hasn't worked at this point. But I'm not going to stop. You know, I've had times when it hasn't worked. I've had more times, probably for me personally, that it hasn't worked than it had. So I've invited Nikki. We just kind of want to take opportunity to kind of activate this. Once again, remember, we're not here to observe. We're here to participate. We're not here to watch from the bleachers. We're here to get on the field. So I just there's a little bit of scripture that I just want to share. There we go. To remind us of what the Lord wants us to do and that there is a biblical commission for this. So, like, here's the thing, guys. I don't want to do anything that the Lord doesn't want me to do. Amen? I don't want to, but at the same time, I don't not want to do something the Lord does want me to do. Does that make sense? So in Luke chapter 9, and you can jump in here if you want, or else you can just listen, but jot it down, because it's basically Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10, and that's your homework this week. I just want you to read through those two chapters, Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10, because they're quite encouraging to me. So Luke chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases." Whoa, that's encouraging. I'm just going to read that one more time. "And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority." We've talked about this before. Power, that's the gun. Amen? Authority, that's the badge. If I go out and shoot someone in New Zealand, me personally, I'm a vigilante. What, where's Bruce? Is that how that works? But if a police officer does it, then it's okay, I guess. We could talk about that. But the Lord gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. I love that. He sent them out to proclaim, give the message, and give an action. Give a message and give an action. To proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Verse 6, "And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." I love that. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes we say to ourselves, well, Scott, the argument here is that that's the 12. They're special people. So what can I expect to do? Well, just in case you ask that question, God gave us chapter 10. Now, chapter 10, verse 1. "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others." Okay, some scriptures say 70, some say 72. You get the point. The point is they were others. They weren't apostles. They weren't even identified as disciples. They were just called others. That's probably us. Amen? So he appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he, Jesus himself, would go. Verse 8, "Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you." Verse 9, "Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." Verse 17, "The 72, those others who were sent out, returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." He sends them out. He says, look, I've sent the 12 out to do it. I'm sending the others out to do it. Guys, I believe he's sending us out to do it. Now, here's the thing. You can say, well, I've tried, Scott. So have I. I've failed, guys, many times. I remember friends of mine brought a guy to me. He was from Africa. He had late stage AIDS. This was about 12 years ago probably. And they said, Scott, I know that if you pray for this guy, you'll heal him. Honestly, and it's not funny, within 9 days he was dead. And I prayed for him. I failed. But I didn't stop. We've seen in this very building, we've seen cancer healed. I ran in, there's a gal who had a huge breast cancer tumor under her underarm get healed right back there. And I ran into her about 4 months ago downtown, and she's beaming and glowing. And I asked her, how you doing? She says, I'm fine. The doctors are giving me the all clear. Praise the Lord. So here's the thing, guys, is I want to press. Amen? I want to press. I want to use that power and authority. And I just want to be willing to try. It's the same thing we do with prophecy. Amen? Let's create a safe space here where people can step out and we can practice and we can succeed and we can fail and we can continue to push forward, and people are going to get healed and people are going to be prophesied for. So Nikki, how do we talked a little bit about this. How do we want to activate this? Should we have one side of the people punch somebody in the arm and then the other? No?
We could do that. Do the two-row thing if you wanted to do that. Well, I think probably to activate healing, we got to look at ourselves first.
Amen. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
So maybe we could just bring the worship team up just real quick, because I think we're going to...
Yeah, so I think we need to look inside our heart, look at our life, see what are the areas that aren't working. Where am I sinning? You know, where am I repeating sin over and over? And break the chains. Let God break the chains first.
So you find that oftentimes as we hold those things, as we keep those things within ourselves, it makes us less effective.
Yeah, it gets in the way of the Holy Spirit. Mm. I think we have to become cleaner, more open vessels to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us, to reach other people, and to allow Holy Spirit to bring healing to us as well.
So, and it's funny because I think that that's a very valid point, but it's I don't believe that the Holy Spirit will not use us if we're in that state, but I believe we condemn ourselves.
Absolutely.
When we're there. Yeah. So we're looking at giving ourselves confidence.
Yeah, so start looking at yourself and do some self-healing. Take responsibility for your health, you know, for your mental, spiritual health, and then start looking at your children and let it be a conversation that you have freely at home, you know, what's bugging you guys, you know, what are you still holding in your heart that you're upset with me about, you know,
interesting.
Get it out. And once that healing starts, it's like a snowball effect. You get well, you stay well, and it's so much easier to give and receive healing if you're a healthy person.
Amen. Well, let's hear for Nikki, guys. Amen. Cool. I think as we jump just into a bit of worship, we're just gonna take that time to sort of examine ourselves. We're going to take that time just to maybe come before the Lord and sort of just let the Lord minister to us maybe in some areas that we have to. I've shared this before, that when my wife and I started on this journey, I've shared this because it amazed me. This was literally where we started. I remember I had read a story about Jonathan Wesley, great Methodist preacher. And he had been a circuit rider in the U.S., a circuit rider being someone who rode on a horse from place to place and preached the gospel back in the Old West days, the 1800s. And his horse became lame, and he thought he was trapped in the middle of the wilderness, and he thought, I'm going to die here. And he prayed for his horse that had become lame. He prayed for the horse, and the horse was healed. So he proclaimed divine healing upon this horse, and the horse was healed. Now, here's the thing. So my wife and I, we had some eggs that hatched, and one of the chickens was born with where its eye should have been. There was just a weird skin patch where the eye should be. And I thought, okay, here's what we're going to do, honey. We're going to pray for this chicken that its eye would be healed. Okay, let me make up the point. There was no eye. Okay, it was just a skin patch. So we start praying for this chicken every day. You can ask my wife. She's not here. Ask her about the chicken. Okay. It took about 2 weeks, but after about 2 weeks of healing, I could see this dark spot under the skin. And I was like, okay, this is weird. I didn't really expect anything to happen. I see this dark spot under the skin, and I'm like, okay, that's weird. So we keep praying. Then a scab formed over the eye. And I was like, this is getting really weird. Okay, after about 3 weeks, the scab popped off, and there's this eye. Now, I was like, whoa. Now, this chicken freaked me out, okay? Because it would, and the eye, so after time, the eye kind of got more developed, and it would just always look at me with this eye, you know? And I was just like, And I can't remember what happened. I think somehow it died or whatever, and I thought about resurrecting it, but it kind of freaked me out, you know? So I was like, we'll just, thank you, Lord. You know, we'll just leave it where it's at. But it was, I stepped out, and I'll tell you what, my faith was probably a bit compromised, but God is good. And I, every time I think about praying, the Lord, I have that picture of that chicken with that eye just looking at me. True story, ask my wife about it, but I'll tell you what, since then, some of you have been in this building when I've been healed, some of the, you've been in this building when you've been healed, and I rejoice with some of the joints and pain that God has taken from me, because I, every time I get out in the bush or get out surfing or whatever, I rejoice saying, thank you, God. And I want there to be more of that. So let's just search our hearts, examine that we might be prepared, that we might be ready to be those vessels. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand and worship, guys.
Tangata katoa.